watching Notepad. My name is Ibrahim Sani. I'm your host. The conversation right now is on the review of 2019 as well as what's up next for 2020. Of course, the startup that we're going to talk about for this particular episode and perhaps will be an interesting one to view for the next year is MyGrocer. Joining me is the co-founder of MyGrocer, Stefan P. Francis. He's the CEO of this business. And we'd like to understand a little bit better about how MyGrocer works and what value proposition it has for consumers out there. Stefan, again, thanks very much for spending time with us. Let's talk about the business per se. What is MyGrocer?
Well, thank you for having us on the show today, Ibrahim. MyGrocer, in a nutshell, is the best grocery for you. It offers freshness, convenience, value, and rewards for something that we do every single month, which is buy groceries and everyday essentials.
Well, what's the problem with how we do things right now? I go to the market every day, okay. It's okay.
So one of the biggest challenges we have right now is traffic and the cost of getting around. So if you drive yourself to a grocery store or you want to get in and out of a grocery store, that's at least half an hour, 1 hour of your time with dual income families. Who has the time for that? And then you have to visit different stores to find the best deals. And more importantly, we spend about 30% of our income on the things that we eat, drink, and use in our homes. Why are there no real rewards around this? And you also have the issue of freshness. How fresh is the food that you're actually getting? Do you know where it came from? Can you make sure that the people handling this knew what they were doing? These are some of the things that we're actually fixing by putting together a team that has experience in different areas and delivering it to your homes.
Okay, so essentially, this is if I'm a consumer, I go to MyGrocer, I buy stuff, you guys send it over to me. That's how it works.
Yeah, in a nutshell.
And of course, the issue, of course, is always on last mile delivery.
Yes.
There's always a problem in terms of how consumers get their goods and services in the last mile. Maybe it works fantastic on the app and everything else, payment, outlet, gateway, everything's done. But the delivery itself is always the problematic one. How do you solve that one?
Okay, so MyGrocer is, we believe, unique in Southeast Asia, actually, in that we control the entire supply chain. From the cloud stores, where we actually hold and process all the products, to the logistics, where we actually deliver the products ourselves. And the handling is done by full-time employees ourselves as well. So we use vans and motorcycles, and we deliver it in thermal-controlled environments. You know, bags that actually take care of whether a product needs to be frozen or chilled or kept fresh. We minimize the use of packaging as well.
So that helps a lot. Let's talk about some of the things that you brought, right? These are the packages that you speak of.
Yeah, so for instance, if you buy chicken from us, it actually gets shipped in something like this. And this is a thermal bag. So your chicken comes out of a cold room. It's put into one of these bags and sent to you. It reaches you still chilled, which is actually better than you buying it yourself. And we actually send it out in these kind of bags. These are reusable bags. So you minimize the amount of plastic you use. This is something cool. You know, it's pretty. You can use it. But it's also extremely convenient for you to carry these things around.
Okay. And let's talk about why this business. There's 1,001 businesses that a person can go after. And of course, you've had a very successful business in the PR world over the past few decades. Why this type of line of industry?
Well, I like cartoons. And one of the shows I watched was Robots. Yeah, Robots, right? And there was this character called Big Weld. And he's a very happy robot. He's doing what he loves. But one of the things he said was, see a need, fill a need. And one morning, I was trying to make my startup cup of coffee, and I had run out of coffee. And so I go to work, and I was talking to my co-founder, and I was like, there has to be a better way of doing this. Can't I get affordable, reliable delivery of the things that I need for my pantry and kitchens? And we looked around, and no one was really doing it. And the more we looked at different markets. And other markets had it, but Southeast Asia didn't have a solution that actually worked. And we had the benefit of working in that space with some major retailers. And we took the idea to them. And they said, well, it's fantastic you want to take this all online. We're happy doing the offline business. We're not really interested in the online thing. Why don't you go pursue it? And we spent 2 years looking at the idea.
Yeah.
And the more we looked at it, the more we realized there was a very real need that could give us greater convenience, greater freshness, but more importantly, we found a way to bring the price of goods actually down.
How do you do that?
So the supply chain. So on a long supply chain, you've got distributors and suppliers and warehouses, and every time that touches one of those things, the price goes up.
Okay.
Right? And people are touching your food as well, which is not good.
Yeah.
We shorten that, we keep it temperature controlled, and suppliers, the people who make the brands that we love, are actually very happy to work with us to give consumers amazing deals.
So the idea here is to maintain a very intact, solid supply chain.
Yes.
But this also means that there's a lot of, I guess, network that you have to build, mm-hmm. anywhere from your delivery van drivers to, you know, poultry farmers, maybe, I don't know. Do you have the capacity to manage all that?
Well, actually, you hit that nail right on the head. Literally the farms to the table, we've actually built that out. And we did it by bringing in a very experienced team. So our physical grocery side of the business is handled by people with 30 years experience from some of the major brands in this part of the world. So they had the experience to find the right suppliers, build those relationships, and make sure that the infrastructure we had met those requirements. So ice cream, for instance, needs to be kept at a certain temperature in the cloud store. Otherwise, the people who make their products aren't going to give it to us.
You know, Stefan, I don't want to out you on your age, right? But let me tell you something. When I interview founders that are slightly on the younger side, they have the vigor and energy to get things done, mm-hmm. but they lack the insight and the maturity to get it done. You've been around the block for quite a bit. Mm-hmm. You know what works and what doesn't. And the issue here is that a person at your age don't normally take risk. Everything is okay. You know, things are working fine. I can pay my bills. I have this investment here and there. I'm okay. Why do you take this risk to execute something as ambitious as this?
A couple of reasons. The first one really is about the way we're built. And I'm built to chase something that's interesting. Even the previous business I had, the consulting firm, we always worked with brands that excited us. And this idea is something that excites me. I grew up in a family that respected food and celebrated things through food. And, you know, being Malaysian,
it's a Malaysian thing as well.
It's a Malaysian thing, right? Yeah. Being Malaysians, we understand that the quality of the food we eat really depends on the quality of the raw material.
Yes.
And it's getting harder and harder to do this. And the thing is this, my son and I, we go shopping for groceries. And he loves it, right? He goes in, oh, look at the fish, look at the lobster, oh, let's touch this.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, it's a huge time sink. And the more we go to the stores, the quality and the consistency of the produce, not quite there.
Let's talk a little bit about not just my grocer, but the business that you just brought up to me just before we started this interview about delivering meals, ready-to-cook meals.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
So one, and actually, we haven't launched this. We're about to. So what's happening is, in looking at this business, we realized also that a lot of people are dual-income families, and you don't always want to cook every day, but you do always want to eat really good food. Now you have food delivery, which works, but sometimes you just, you know, you want to eat your own food.
Yeah.
And people went, well, I don't want to buy all the groceries because then it goes to waste. And we're trying to address that as well.
Yeah.
And they go, and other people are going, I've never cooked before. You know, I grew up learning how to cook and I was fortunate, but not everyone has that. And so the more we thought about it, and we were like, wait, there has to be a way of doing this. And the way we came up with was meal kits. So ready-to-cook meal kits will be where you can take, let's say you want to do a steak fajita meal, right? And look, not many people know how to do steak fajitas.
Yeah.
You go to a restaurant, they charge you $30 a head, something like that.
Yeah.
We'll ship to you everything you need to make steak fajitas for four people. Its prep time is 30 minutes. You need one thing, a pot.
Yeah.
You need some salt, some pepper.
Yeah.
Everything else you need is in a box, and we give it as a discard. The instructions are here, and we give it to you for just slightly more than the cost of the raw materials. So we don't charge you a premium either.
So how do you make money? I mean, this is the crazy part, right? If you cut costs at every single corner and things like this that you send to your, you know, customers or consumers, that is a fraction of the price from what we pay at the marketplace. Is this a viable business in terms of profitability?
So not quite a fraction of the price. There are savings. But what we found is that there were tremendous inefficiencies in the current system. You know, so for instance, from supplier to customer, a lot of places are losing between 6 and 12% of their stock, because the item mishandled it or it went bad in the shop or something like that. We've cut all that out because the efficiency that our software allows us to find gets those savings back. And if we've already made a bit of money on that, we transfer the rest back to our customers.
Another problem that technologically related startups have is that they burn cash, you know, at every single turn.
Yes.
And they don't mind because, you know, VC money keeps on pumping in. They continue to burn cash.
Yeah.
You know this more than most, actually. Is this the situation with you guys, or are you guys really a typical SME cash flow kind of business where, you know, revenue is actually means a lot to you?
So, as you pointed out earlier, I'm not a bright-eyed 20-year-old. I don't have the luxury of running around and pretending that the world's going to throw money at me.
Yeah.
Right? We built the business from day one with a clear idea on how long it's going to take us to be profitable. Every sale we've had to date has had a gross margin on it. Every single order.
so that you're not running on a loss, you're not burning cash.
Well,
we are investing,
yeah, but we're not losing money on sales,
okay,
which I believe makes us one of the few grocery online players anywhere in the world to be able to say that.
Okay. We have to take a short break. This is a fascinating business to actually speak about. But when we come back, we'll continue more with our conversation with my grocer. Don't go anywhere. Thanks for staying on with us. We are with Stefan P. Francis, the co-founder of My Grocer. I just want to talk about this idea of rolling out your business. Mm. When we speak about technologically related startups, they normally think about Cradle, Amdek, Magic, whatever, right? These institutions that people normally associate technology startups with. Do you see them as a viable business partner in terms of rolling out your product?
I believe that in time, I will find the right people to do it there. But it's not the simplest of process. And we can't afford to wait to find the right fit for everything we're trying to do. And the process sometimes takes a while. And obviously, they need to do their checks and balances. But we went ahead and bootstrapped the business ourselves. And right now, we're approaching these organizations. But at the same time, we're going to the market and trying to raise money from angels and venture investors as well.
Is the money really there in terms of VC money?
I think the money is there, but there's a lot of resistance towards the idea of a homegrown solution. If I was based overseas and I came back here, I think I'll have an easier time of it sometimes.
This is perplexing. You're not the first person to speak on this. Why do you think that's the case?
I don't really know, but I think there is a high barrier to belief that we can create credible world-class solutions here, and people take longer to believe in that. We've met some amazing people who are highly supportive of us.
Okay.
And people around the region are also supporting us in many ways. We're quite blessed, actually. People have stepped forward and offered us help in a variety of ways that have allowed us to build the solution we have. And right now, we're talking to a few people and talking to them about getting some funding going.
Okay.
It'll work. It's just not a straightforward process.
Okay. So clearly, there's some challenges in getting backbone support in terms of operations and everything. Sounds like you're there, at least from where I'm sitting. I can actually see you solving some of the problems, business problems that you have. But again, back to the partners that you speak of, from VCs to angels to the government agencies right now, what would be the kind of way that you can get most out of them right now? Or is it just a big problem of them trying to understand your business or bureaucracy? What's holding them back?
So I think the first thing is, and I'm speaking from a personal point of view, obviously, I don't know necessarily where to go in an easy way to get all the information I need. It's kind of scattered everywhere. And if you ask two people, you get two different answers. So it takes a lot of effort to actually find the right answers. Secondly, there is definitely a lack of awareness about our particular line of business. People look at it and they go, well, it's groceries. How can you make money on it? Not realizing that there's a tremendous opportunity there. And also we have the issue of food security, right? Can we actually produce, transport, and deliver the food that we need in an effective way? Mm. And this needs to be something that we look at not just here, but across the region.
Yeah, because you plan to scale. You
must
scale.
We do. We already have identified the next 8 locations that we're going to open in terms of cities. They're both here and regional. We already know what it's going to cost us. We know what our milestones are. And that goes back to planning. But when we talk to some people here, they also go, show me a business plan and show me what your revenue model is going to be. And then they look at it and one of two things happen. They go, wow, that's amazing. Come back when you've hit a few milestones. Or some of them look at it and go like, that's too ambitious. I don't think it can be done because company A, B, and C have tried it before and they were better funded and they couldn't deliver. So there also is that high barrier to belief or risk-taking, which is one of the main things that sets us apart from many other places where if you walk in with a great idea in some cities in the world, they go, oh my God, that's amazing, let's try.
Yeah.
Here, they tend to go, well, I want to know who else is supporting you
before
I try.
Okay, so syndication in terms of investment is important. Yeah. I understand that. $1 billion, bond issuances go syndicated as well. You've got the big 3, 4, 5 big banks, they syndicate. I get that idea. But what I don't get is the risk aversion or the risk appetite for investors. It seems like they're not behaving like a high risk, high return kind of pool of investors. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I'm a very, I'm an investor myself, mm-hmm. and I'm, you know.
Yeah, we'll talk after this.
Of course. No, I just I don't have the cash that you need, brother. But, you know, my appetite is low risk, low return, because I can sit back and I can enjoy single digit returns because I don't want my capital to go away. But assuming, you know, I'm Joe Low and I have like $2 billion, you know, $3 billion standby to be used, I might want to go for the, you know, 5x growth kind of company. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's a mismatch between investor type versus in risk appetite that we have in this country? Is that where the problem lies? They might not realize that they can go for greater risk because of what business they do.
Well, I think that's part of it. The other part is really getting the right investors connected to vetted opportunities. And the third is, and a lot of us automatically go out of the country because we've seen very little traction straight away. So we're not spending quite as much time here trying to find the right people as well.
Yeah. I don't know how I can breach this subject, but one such company that I can think of is Grab, has its origins here in Malaysia. They are now based in Singapore. And based on my interviews with them, they argued that it's a little bit easier in terms of regulatory funding, capital raising, whatever you have, you network-based to be done out of Singapore. They're not the only company that has done this. Countless others have happened, and not just from Malaysia emigrating to Singapore, other countries, Indonesia going to Singapore, many others, right? And, you know, Singapore is an interesting market, but I do have a rivalry element of it. I'm southern, right? I live in Johor, I see Singapore. It's very frustrating to see that they get the best kind of business and we don't, or we lose. We might have some businesses in this country, but we lose. This is not just about microservices. This is about something more fundamental than that. Can we, as you know, as consumers and business owners, leave the government a little bit out of the equation? Can we do more with each other, for each other, to actually grow this kind of industry moving forward? Not just for groceries, but startups in general.
Well, and you know, grew up in Johor as well, so I know exactly where you're coming from.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, you know. I think it would be greatly helpful if we stop looking at where something comes from and we look at what it's doing and judge it based on that. Okay. So a lot of times here, and I'm as guilty as anyone else, sometimes you look at it and someone says, oh, this was made in Malaysia, and you tend to look at it with greater scrutiny and go like, oh, and you're looking for the flaws.
Yeah.
You're looking for the faults,
you're
right?
Harsher because
you're harsher and you're like, oh, you know, you can't be that good. And this thing or this service or this product then has to do 3-4 times as much just to prove to you that it's half as good as something that just lands from overseas. And you go, oh my God, that's amazing. Yeah. And I think if we sort of gave ourselves a chance, we'd find some amazing things here because I've had the benefit of, as you said, working in different industries. I've met some amazing minds, amazing dreamers, people who have so much passion and they love what they're doing. And a lot of times they get worn down by the fact that they're trying so hard to do something here and they're just not getting the homegrown support that they need. And it's no one's fault, but it would make it easier if someone went, hey, that's a Malaysian company, I'm going to support that.
Yeah.
And they don't just go, well, you know, I want this and I want that. Support Malaysia, buy Malaysian.
Okay, let's circle back to your business.
Yes.
MyGrocer is going to grow from strength to strength, I presume.
Yes.
And you've just launched the business, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
What would be some of the key milestones that you can share with us, I don't know,
without
disclosing so much detail?
So one of the first things we had to figure out was whether we'd actually be able to maintain a gross margin.
Okay.
Because on paper it was there and
paper,
we actually...
Paper everything is good.
Yeah, on paper everything is good. And we thought we'd get a single digit gross margin to start with. Only because while retailers, suppliers have been really supportive, they are very clear about this. You need volume to get better prices from us.
Yeah, this is a retail business.
It's a retail business, but we're quite blessed. A number of suppliers have come to us and said, look, we really like what you're trying to do. We're going to support you. And they've given us really great opportunities.
Okay.
And when we looked at the way that the products were going out, we found something interesting. So Instacart in the US, the granddaddy of this, right?
Of course.
This year, they came up and said, well, you know, we're really proud. 44% of our customers now buy 15 items or more, and some of that is fresh.
Okay.
We went back and looked at our numbers. 80% of our customers buy 25 items and more per order.
85 of your customers?
85% of our customers.
85% of your
buy
customers?
Buy 25 items or more per order, and the bulk of our orders are fresh items. Which kind of is the reverse of what people expected it to be.
Yeah.
We expected that to be the reverse as well. This is amazing.
I had Lazada, sorry, hold your thought, but I had Lazada, Shopee here. I mean, not recently, but they were talking about, you know, dry goods, you know, diapers, that kind of stuff.
Oh no, diapers are perfect. So we offer diapers, but we don't try and outprice Shopee, because here's the thing. They buy 500,000 diapers at a go, right? And they're going to give you the best prices.
Yeah.
Go buy your diapers from them if you want to. But when you're looking at buying everything you need for your home and you want it delivered for the low price of RM8.90, it's cheaper than a Grab, cheaper than any other delivery service of its kind. We deliver it to you and you pick your delivery time every day, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., 7 days a week, public holidays included, because we want to make sure it's convenient.
Yeah.
The freshness is guaranteed.
Yeah.
If it's not as fresh as it should be, tell us.
Yeah.
Right? We'll fix it. So far, we've had 3 people come back to us in the past 6 weeks, and they've had questions about freshness. In every case, if they could show us something, and many of them were like, hey, we just wanted to give you some feedback. But the moment you tell us that, we check. And we're like, well, it's not bad, but it's not what we told you it's going to be. Let us change it.
Yeah. There's also a greater tolerance from consumers trying to understand that you guys are just starting out. Mm-hmm. And therefore, early adopters always are cognizant of the fact that, you know, there's kinks that needs to be sorted out.
Yeah.
Do you think that this tolerance is, you know, going to be wearing out over time as you get a little bit more mature?
Well, I wish that we could say we've had that tolerance. We've actually had customers who expect us to be the best of the best.
Okay.
And I think it's the right thing to expect as well. Look, you're giving us money for a product or a service.
Okay.
Our inability is not your problem as a consumer. Be appreciative and be kind to us, but expect everything from us. And that's how we've been operating as well, that we have customers who have trusted us, we need to deliver on this. And I have an amazing team who actually have been empowered to make decisions. So the other day, and I'll tell you the story, I like the story, it's about lemons.
Okay.
And this lady ordered 20 lemons, among other things. And it went there, and she calls us up, and she goes, hey, the rest of the order is fine, the lemons are not.
Okay.
And so we're like, okay, run down to the cloud store, we check everything, we're like, these lemons are perfectly fine.
Okay.
So we go back up, and our customer goes, what's wrong with the lemons? And she goes, oh, they're not good. And so at that point, one of our delivery vans had come back in.
Uh-huh.
And so the team was, and we were not around, right?
Right.
But the team looks at it and goes, guidance is customer care. Look after them.
Yeah.
So they grab a box of lemons with 40 more lemons on it. They jump in the van, they drive to our house.
Yeah.
Right? And they rock up to our house, and her daughter is there, and she's like, what are you all doing back here? You know, your mum called us and said the lemons are no good.
Yeah.
She goes, oh. And so mum comes out, she goes, oh, hello. And we go, auntie, can you bring the lemons out?
Yeah.
And so she brings her 20 lemons, we put it back in the box, and we go, here, pick your 20 lemons.
Yeah.
It turned out she wanted to make lemonade. But you know, she was one of those old ladies who wanted to be just right.
Okay.
And she has every right to expect that from us. And we had the opportunity, we had the time, and we had the people. So why can't we do that? It's about delighting the customer, isn't it?
Yeah.
And she was happy. And her daughter was happy, and the next day we noticed orders coming in from them and from someone they had referred, because we use referral codes to reward people for telling people about us. It worked. And our customer guys were also happy, because they're like, you know what, we don't have to try and make excuses about shoddy work.
Yeah.
We get to do the best that we can do with the best that we have right now.
You have set yourself a high bar.
Yes.
Would this be a problem when you scale?
I think that if we can't maintain the high bar, we should just grow as high as we can with that bar. But it's not really a problem to grow, because we have an amazing software infrastructure on the back end.
Yeah.
And we have really, really good people. They have 30 years experience in this business looking after this.
Okay.
These guys built hypermarkets and high-end grocery stores. And what we're doing is just the tip of the iceberg for them.
Let's talk about the market. We're running out of time, but let's talk about some of the market that you plan to address.
Okay.
I suspect this is a city-based business. It's not a nationwide kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And because of this, you have to really handpick your cities,
mm-hmm.
you know, that suits both the customer's needs and your wants. How do you, you know, ascertain that these are the next 4 or 5 or 6 cities that you're going to hit?
So we spent 2 years before we actually launched looking at this and identifying the cities. Plus, in my previous life, I worked with some of the best brands in the business who were actually building the apps that drive our lives today. We had already learned which cities were ripe for a service like this.
Okay.
And we have that data. We also have people on the ground in key cities. And we already know which cities are going to need this. They are mobile able. They have an audience which is both very young and very old. They value convenience over everything else. And they have the demand for what we're doing.
Okay. I'm assuming not all of them are in Malaysia.
No.
All right.
So we've identified 3 cities in Malaysia and 7 around the region.
Okay, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. More to come then. Yes. That was my conversation with Stephen Francis of MyGrocer. Do check out your app. So if they want to check out your app, how do they go about
it? Well, they go online and go to www.mygrocer. That's MYGROSER, because we're Malaysian, .com. We're a .com, not a .com.my. So mygrocer.com. Check it out. And the moment you sign up, we give you 80 ringgit in vouchers under the voucher tab in the form of 4 free deliveries and up to 30 ringgit off your first order.
That's fantastic. So do check it out. If you've missed any part of this interview, just head on to astrowin.com. Look for Notepad. These interviews can be found there, as well as the opportunity for you to actually watch this interview on your mobile devices. Download our freshly launched app, Astrowani, wherever you get the application, either from Google Play or the Apple App Store. Until next time, thanks very much for watching and goodbye.